Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Still some fine-tuning that needs to be completed for some of the points that they've been negotiating back and forth on the CBA between the NHL and the NHLPA. But by all accounts, the goal is to get something wrapped up today, maybe tomorrow morning at the latest, and then allow for a vote over the course of the weekend, spanning the weekend, that'll consist of not only the CBA terms, but also the return-to-play plan and everything that encompasses it. The testing protocols, the travel, the hub cities officially getting a vote on, in addition to all the CBA discussions.
That is David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com. The NHL creeping closer, well, to a number of things. Like I said, they got the hub cities. Now we're getting kind of an idea of protocols for return to play for camps. And then the CBA to follow, apparently, after that, if all goes as planned this week.
I think these next couple weeks for these sports and for football, too, will be very interesting to see how it plays out. You know, we're getting into the second week in July soon, and with return to play for hockey and for the NBA and for baseball, you know, I'm seeing baseball highlights, right? They're at camp. They're at summer camp.
Oh, yeah. They've been taking, BP, going through workouts. Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Tanaka took a really liner off the head that was rough.
Yeah.
And football, you know, kind of making plans. Like these next couple weeks will be busy with a lot of news for this.
Yeah. Trying to see how they're going to handle all this stuff, getting full teams together. The NBA opens up their bubble this week, I believe, Jeremy. Maybe tomorrow. I think teams are reporting to Orlando this week. On the Western Hotline right now to talk about the hockey specifics is Justin Bourne, former pro player, now co-host of Hockey Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Justin, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show, first of all.
Yeah, morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So I guess we got a lot of ground to cover. Hub cities, return to play, all these fun things. Let's start with hub cities, Edmonton and Toronto. Any surprise there with the way things were spiking in the United States? I assume it was looking more and more like Canada was going to host the rest of the season.
Yeah, you know, but there's still surprise there. I feel like they're, I can't speak for everyone else, but just my opinion on how the NHL generally does business is they have some outcomes, some ways they want things to go, and they usually end up going that way. And I think they really wanted to go to Vegas. I think, Vegas has a history of being able to host large events, and I think they wanted to be in both countries, and I think there were a lot of things they liked about it. So full credit to the league for doing what looked like the smart thing and avoiding where there is massive spikes in COVID and ending up in a place like Edmonton where, you know, we know the spread of the disease is as low as it is anywhere in the NHL, at least among cities that'll have them. We know Vancouver essentially declined. And then Toronto makes a lot of sense, too. I'm a little more worried about the Toronto hub because, let's be honest, guys, the guys in the NHL know a lot of people in Toronto, and if there's anywhere temptation to stray outside the bubble, it's going to be strong. It's got to be there.
Yeah, there's another discussion to be had about players and when they get into, quote, the bubble. The NBA is trying to do everything they can and have things for the players to do in the Disney bubble. The NHL is talking about, entertainment and dinner and takeout and delivery and all these different things to keep players happy inside the bubble. How challenging will that be to make sure the guys follow all the rules for however long they're going to be in that bubble, as long as they're alive in the postseason?
I think there's going to be like a certain time period that's going to be really hard. I think at first it's going to be new and exciting, and everyone is going to be doing their best. And, you know, it's kind of like a New Year's resolution. Like, as soon as you get started, you maintain your diligence and you're going to the gym and changing your diet, and everyone sticks to it really well. I also think that towards the end of a potential Stanley Cup run, guys are tired. You're playing a lot of hockey. You're really looking to preserve your body. You're not looking to do much. I think they'll be fine then. There is sort of a time in the middle there, though, where guys will have been in the bubble for a couple weeks. Guys will be a long way from the end of it. They're starting to miss their families. They're starting to want to, you know, kind of explore the city a little bit. And, you know, if you get some nice weather in Toronto, I'm sure there's lots of families nearby, buddies, ex-girlfriends, things that players can stray out and go visit. So I think it's going to be hard to keep them from that. But, yeah, you're right. They can certainly do enough things around there. The Enercare Center is nearby the Toronto Hub, where they have a lot of space to bring in pop-up restaurants and other things for the players to see and do. So it is going to be a little bit incumbent on the NHL to present enough alternative options so the players don't end up trying to find their own ways to entertain themselves.
What about opting out, Justin? And how do players handle this? Like, we're seeing stories of some baseball players opting out, and there are some reasons. Some of them are medical issues or family members, what have you. One player is talking about opting out possibly because his wife is due to have a child and he doesn't want to risk bringing the virus in. In terms of opting out, if you were a player, what kind of research would you be going through? How comfortable would you feel coming back, even in a bubble?
Well, you know, I may not be super comfortable, and I don't know that everyone who does decide to come back is going to be comfortable. I just, you know, Brian Burke has been saying on Hockey Central that, yes, the players have the choice to opt out. No one is going to be, you know, have held against them if they choose not to, you know, assuming they have reasonable reasons. So that's all well and good. Players can opt out. But at the end of the day, you kind of have a little bit of obligation to your, you know, your teammates and to the guys around the league. And I feel like guys are very united in this. This is an NHL players thing, that if you want there to be hockey this year, if you want everyone's pocketbook to reflect that there's been a 2019-20 season, if you want a Stanley Cup to be handed out, there's some obligation to come back. You know, that's not saying anyone is being forced to do it, but if enough people were to opt out that they couldn't play the season, and, you know, there's no NHL hockey till, you know, literally 2021. And there's a lot of people who are going to get used to not having hockey, and you're going to lose a lot of fans. And I think the bottom line for a lot of players is going to look very different. So I understand it can be a little scary, and the uncertainty is the scariest part of it all. But, you know, if they are being provided with a reasonably safe situation, I think there is a little bit of an obligation for guys to come back, and I think that'll be reflected in the amount of people who do show up.
One thing that could also come from this, you know, I think about this for concussions, where a team has a spotter and they pull a player off the ice because they're worried about it. The player might say, I feel fine. There's one scenario with a pre-participation medical examination, players are deemed to be at an increased risk and would not be allowed to play, could be deemed unfit to play and participate in either phase three or phase four, in which case they can ask for a second opinion. But, like, that gets really sticky if a player says, it's my life, right? It's my job. I want to play, while the league/team is telling that player, your existing condition is one that you should not – we've deemed you unfit to play.
Yeah, that is dicey. You're talking about, like, lung conditions, diabetes, things like that, right? You know, like Anton Strahlman, I know, is one of them. Max Domi. That is sort of it comes down to a matter of ethics at that point. You know, it's like, we let guys fight in the UFC, you know, and the risks that can come with it. You know, because the fighters accept that risk. If you have a player who says they're willing to accept that risk, are we able to tell them that they can't? It's a tough situation. I think there'll be liability issues that are involved in the end. And, you know, you think about these sort of things, that's really where it ends up. I think the league's like, if we can't get sued for this, if we can't end up getting financially crippled, and he's okay with it, I think we're going to be okay with it too. But yeah, that's going to bring in some tough situations. And for those players too, just some tough decisions, you know, like that is your life you're playing with. And obligation aside, I think at the end of the day, that's got to take precedent.
Justin Bourne with us from Sportsnet in Toronto, Fan 590. Hey, Justin, so we it looks like the players will go to camp July 13th, and they'll have a little over 2 weeks to get ready, and then the games will begin. The impact of the layoff, the length of the layoff by the time the teams start playing again, what do you think it will be?
Well, I don't think it's going to be drastic all over, but I think what's going to happen is players have very different living situations throughout all this. And, you know, from you two guys to myself and everyone beyond, we all have very different living situations. You know, we had Spezza on Hockey Central. It was like, listen, man, I got four girls. They want me out of their hair. I have a home gym. Like, you know, he's got like, he can be in the gym 6 hours a day. And frankly, that's, you know, at least he's got something to do. And his girls want him there anyway. So, you know, that's a different situation than a guy who might have a couple of kids and doesn't have a home gym. And, you know, they're young kids and need care. And he's not able to get out and get to a facility. And, you know, I also think there's different beliefs. A lot of players thought they would come back. A lot of players thought it would never happen. I think their behavior probably reflected those opinions. So I think what's going to happen is that a lot of guys are going to be in great shape. Most of the guys are going to be in fine to good shape, particularly now they can see that they're going to be going back. Right. But I think there's going to be two or three guys on every team who wasn't able to train or didn't think they need to train or just was generally lazy because they knew they'd have an excuse when they come back. And I think the disparity between those super fit guys and the super unfit guys is going to be glaring, particularly for the guys who haven't taken care of themselves during the stretch.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and this will be interesting to see how this plays out, playoffs, right? They're intense. It's a two-month battle and all this stuff. No fans. So you're still playing for a Stanley Cup, unless you're one of the teams in the round robin that are playing for seeding. You're still playing for the Stanley Cup ultimately, but there will be no fans in the arena. How does that, if at all, impact how the level of play or the intensity of those games?
Well, I don't know if you guys played much rec hockey in your day, but there's no fans in a rec hockey game. But I can tell you, I've had my blood boiling just playing shinny puck on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m. and wanted to, you know, run through the glass at guys and fight guys. And, you know, it's the spirit of the competition gets you amped up. And then when there's stakes like a Stanley Cup on the line, you can imagine just how amped up guys will be. So, yes, there's not going to be fans in the stands, and obviously that adds another layer of adrenaline and excitement and all that. But I still think the guys are going to find that next year. They're going to find ways to get fired up, and I still think the product is going to be exciting.
The games are again scheduled to begin by August 1st. Justin Bourne joining us from Sportsnet in Canada. Justin, thanks. Nice having you on the show with us this morning. Thanks for giving us some time.
For sure, guys. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Have a nice day. Justin with us on our West Her Hotline. Again, things, knock on wood, are going fairly smoothly in terms of the protocols and the work with the PA as opposed to how baseball got back. And it seems like things are moving relatively well for the National Hockey League. Now the next big step will be what happens when everybody shows up at camp. Remember, the camps will be in the respective cities. They'll train in their cities. Then they go to the hub cities. I want to say, I think it was like July 25th or 26th. So they'd be in their local towns for a couple of weeks, go to the hub cities, be there for a few days, and boom, start playing hockey games. And then you knock on wood and hope everything goes okay. Testing every other day is one of the many things that they're going to be doing as part of the protocols that are coming out, came out over the weekend.
Philip Rivers had a question on the NFLPA call about testing in the coronavirus in the NFL. I just saw it, I think it was Ian Rappaport that tweeted it a bit ago, that what would happen, this is Rivers who asked this, if a player, Tom Pelissero's tweet, sorry. Big question, if a player tests positive during Super Bowl week but is asymptomatic, would he have no choice but to sit? Of course, the answer is yes.
Yeah, right.
But if he later has two negative tests 2 hours or 24 hours apart, he could be cleared. The NHL is doing four tests in 4 days to clear. The NFL, two tests in 24 hours to clear. You know, as we've kind of walked through this and watched these sports teams attempt to come back, Howard, I'd like to elevate my likelihood of playing.
Yeah.
I'd like to put the NHL up a few ticks.
Really?
It's in Canada.
Yeah.
That's
I mean, they're
benefit.
Really, their curve has been much, right, much more, it's flattened. I mean, they're in much better shape, right, as a country
yes,
than we are.
Yeah. Much, much better. So, like, it's in Canada.
Yeah.
I like the NHL's chances better than the
NBA
right now.
I think
the NBA's
got it. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, Jeremy, I think the NBA and I think Major League Baseball could absolutely go south fast.
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, the concept of the bubble, however you want to do it, I think has merit. Major League Baseball going to their respective cities, staying in their respective cities, and traveling, getting on planes, and flying for all their games. I don't know why they're just asking for a massive uptick in cases. I think they're really going to have a lot of problems. What the hell do I know? I'm not a scientist. I'm just guessing. But I just think, you know, right? You would think the NBA had it right on paper. All the teams, one spot. Nobody leaves. You go to Orlando, you're on property, boom, done. And they're still getting, you know, positive cases as guys have showed up at their various training camps. I think they're probably hoping if we get through this part, we'll be okay when we get to Orlando because then we can keep guys inside our bubble. Mm-hmm. Man, Major League Baseball, they're going to be all over the country. I have no idea. So guys are traveling back into their cities for camp. Guys, there are 31 positive tests as announced by Major League Baseball. And at some point, now you're going to go on planes and you're flying to cities and you're going to other states and you're traveling. I just don't know why Major League Baseball is not doing this. Now, granted, their original plan was what? Hub cities in Arizona, Texas, and Florida, which now would be a disaster. But I just think Major League Baseball is taking the biggest risk. I think they're really going to have a lot of problems controlling this.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right. Maybe the NHL, compared to the Orlando bubble, granted there's two cities in the NHL, one... Maybe the NHL comes out best because they're in Canada. Maybe the NBA is going to a hot spot this week.
Right.
They're going to Florida this week to report to the bubble, I think. I'll check the dates on that, but I thought I read it was this week.
Yeah, Bucks are reporting Thursday because they shut down all their facilities until they travel.
Yeah, so they're reporting to one of the worst states to go to right now in terms of the virus cases. Granted, the whole state, not just Orlando. And then MLB is going to be spread out all over the country. It just doesn't really – I don't know why people didn't really talk about that as a big issue. Everybody got caught up on the labor, right, and the CBA discussions and the revenue sharing, and, oh, my God, how come the owners and the players can't play baseball at this critical time? I don't think people spent enough time talking about Major League Baseball not really changing things in terms of their approach to the season. Masks, yes. Testing, yes. Social distancing, they've got protocols, don't get close to the umpire, no more fights, you know, be careful when you're yelling and arguing a call, stay 6 feet back. If players aren't in the game, I think they're sitting in the stands. I'm sure, you know, players won't be next to each other in the bullpen, the relievers who aren't working will be spread out. So they're doing certain things, but in terms of using each city and flying guys all over the place, doesn't seem like a good idea. The NBA and the NHL are saying, everybody stay put. You're going to be in your hotel. You're going to be in this bubble. No one's going anywhere until, well, I guess what in theory, one team would emerge from the Toronto, not in theory, one team will emerge from the Toronto hub and have to go to Edmonton for the Stanley Cup final. Right? I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't have teams traveling all over the place. Major League Baseball will. And that just seems like a really dangerous approach.
And they start in 18 days. And there's a story, did you see the story about the A's can't get their tests back?
No, I heard, I don't know if it was an A's player, I forget. There was a clip from a player who was on, they played the clip before us this morning. He took the test, it's been like he still has no results, like it's 3-4 days later. That seems like a really dangerous thing too. Like you've got to, like your point about, you mentioned testing. You know, you'd want to obviously get stuff back as soon as possible. If players, whether or not they play, is dependent upon whether they're testing every day, every other day, or they might have to have a negative test twice in two. You got to turn this stuff around fast. I would hope that, you know, there's a way to improve the turnaround time so you're not waiting 4 or 5 days. That could be really dangerous to other guys if someone turns out being positive and they're practicing and they're playing and you don't know for 4 or 5 days that they're positive. So I think they're still working out some kinks in the old system there.
Exciting is not the right word here, but I predict a newsworthy 3 weeks here for every one of these sports.
Yeah.
Well, and 18 days away from baseball. And
baseball is practicing. Guys are at their stadiums. You know, they're already practicing, so we'll see how the tests go. Maybe there won't be an uptick, but there might be because of players showing up now. Full teams. Remember, the NBA and the NHL, not the NHL. I don't know about the NBA. Full teams have yet to report for official camps. You know, there were voluntary workouts in the NHL, limited to 6 and then limited to 12. But no full teams, I believe, have reported yet for an official camp, right, in the NHL. I don't know if that's the case in the NBA. I don't think they have. But Major League Baseball now finally has players at their sites training for the beginning of the season. The next week or so, we'll be interested to see what happens to the number of cases.
There was also a story about the NHL that the 7 non-alpha designate, whatever, the 7 teams
that
didn't make it,
right,
have pushed again to try to get together and play.
I just think you want to
do stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. Here's the NFL, and the players are talking about, hey, listen, in practices during the regular season, we shouldn't practice 11 on 11. We should never have a situation where full team practice is going on. in regular season practices, which is radical, right? I don't know why the NBA is considering a second bubble in Chicago, I believe, for the teams that didn't make the return to play. And the NHL, I'm sorry. I know it's a long layoff and you won't play hockey or basketball for maybe 9 months. But the last thing you want to do is have mass gatherings of teams at this point if they're not playing for a championship. You're just playing with fire. And I just don't know why they would want to be doing that. Oh, wow. Did you see Brian's tweet? Koziel, yeah. He's coming up in a moment. He just tweeted out the longest drives of the week for Bryson DeChambeau. Wow, that's a lot of numbers with a 3 as the first digit. All right, we'll talk about that in a moment. 803-0550, join us on the NHL discussion. We were having some fun talking about the Formula One season beginning and, two newbies in terms of F1 racing. If you're in on F1 like we are, thanks to Drive to Survive, hey, you can call us and talk about what it was like watching the race on Sunday. Whatever else is on your mind, you can join us too. Koziel on the way in a moment, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Lines. Brian Koziel coming up in a moment. We'll talk more about the PGA tournament. Bryson DeChambeau is the story, winning the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Kevin Harvick winning the NASCAR Brickyard 400. NHL planned open training camps is July 13th, and games would start by August 1st. The NFL Players Association, the Board of Player Reps, is requesting that there be no preseason games played, and they would also like to not have 11-on-11 activities during practices. The Bucks and the Kings, latest NBA teams to shut down facilities. MLB says 31 players tested positive. David Price, Dodgers pitcher, has opted out of the upcoming baseball season. Those are your headlines, and we're going in a moment to the Western Hotline to talk a little bit more about Bryson DeChambeau and the show he has been putting on the PGA Tour. He was 23 under at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit and has been... I didn't have Brian's tweet up here. Has been hitting drives regularly, 350-plus yards with a high, let's see, longest drive was 377. So that's you could relate to that, right, Jeremy?
If I'm hitting it at the airport down the tarmac, yes.
Okay, so there you go. That's 377. Plus, he's hitting it straight, I'm guessing. He's not like, you know, scattershot. Like,
well,
hitting...
a little bit. I saw he might be like 49th in driving accuracy.
Okay. I thought that was part of the overall.
But a lot of the guys have decided that it doesn't matter. You know, getting that much closer in the rough, at least in the rough they've been playing, is still to their advantage.
Yeah. So he is has been got his first victory of the season, but he's the big story because of his he added 40 pounds in the offseason. He's added muscle. He's stronger. He's more powerful. He's hitting crazy bombs. And his analytics and all this stuff. So Brian is the golf expert. You know, you catch Tee to Green Saturday mornings with Brian and Kevin Sylvester and Jeff Mitas, the PGA Pro. And Brian is with us right now on the Western Hotline. How you doing there, Mr. Koziel?
Good morning. I'm on my sixth protein shake already of the day, Howard.
You're bulking sure. up. That's good.
Looking to get to 374 on the drive, huh?
Holy cow. Those numbers are insane. He had 16 drives over 350 yards this week. Just
instead of
crazy.
Brian, instead of just boiling it down to is it good or bad for golf, I kind of want more open-ended. What does it mean for golf? I mean, if he's going to do that consistently, what does it mean, right?
Well, it probably, at least for the short term, means he's going to have a massive advantage and going to have a chance to win. I mean, every week that he tees it up. I mean, if you look at the numbers, his last seven tournaments. Now, I realize a few of these tournaments are before the break where he wasn't as bulky as he is now. But he's had seven consecutive tournaments where he's been in the top 10. His worst finish was eighth. So he's had a chance to win every single time that he's put it, you know, that he's gone out there to play. Obviously, the four tournaments that they've had post the COVID suspension, he's been right there going into Sunday with a chance to win. So when you are hitting these type of drives, I mean, the average par four on a PGA Tour is kind of in the low to mid 400s. I mean, he's hitting, you know, 360, 370. So, I mean, he's hitting 80-yard shots into greens, 60-yard shots into greens. I mean, even with, if you're in the rough, it's still a massive advantage. He's able to control his shots so well. And I want to give him some credit, too. He is putting well. I mean, you have to make the putts, but when you're that close, you can get it that close, the putts become a lot easier. So for now, I mean, you can't probably, a lot of these guys can't transform themselves into being this muscular, gaining this much weight that quickly. But I can guarantee you that we're going to probably see some people try to do exactly what Bryson is doing. The key beyond the strength, too, is that he's creating so much speed with his club on his downswing, and that is really, really where that ball is getting out and going. It's a combination of the two, but it's the club head speed that none of us amateur players could really come even close to without thinking that you'd even make contact with the ball without missing it.
And granted, Brian, there are some long fours, there are some fives, but it's kind of antithetical to what he was when he first showed up, right? The mad scientist, the guy that has the clubs that are different from everybody else, you know, if you hit it that far off the tee, don't you take five clubs out of your bag? Like he had this entire identity as a guy that was going to kind of beat the game, and he has flipped it in how he's going to beat the game.
Yeah, he is essentially eliminating some of the most difficult shots in golf, which are those long approach shots in. I mean, he doesn't have to hit 4-iron, 5-iron, 6-iron because he just never has that shot. I mean, even yesterday on one of those par fives, he had 220 yards out of the rough and he hit an 8-iron. So, I mean, it obviously, you know, for all of us at golf, you know, as you go down into your bag in terms of the clubs, it gets a little easier to control where you want it to go. So, yeah, he is doing some tremendous things. The graphite shafts are supposed to be easier to hit in terms of length, but sometimes harder to control. He's figured that out. He's figured out a way to keep it accurate. So he's using what he can within the rules. He's obviously studied this quite a bit. You mentioned mad scientist. I mean, he was all about the numbers. He essentially wanted to be a robot when he started. All the clubs, the same length, all the irons, trying to recreate himself. If you watch his putting, too, he almost looks uncomfortable putting, but he's trying to take the least variability out of it. He wants his body to be as still as possible and just rotate the shoulders just barely. The rest of his body looks like a statue when he's putting. It doesn't even look comfortable, but it's working for him right now.
Howard, just to give you some idea, an 8-iron, 220 out of the rough, I might have as good a shot doing that as I do beating Joey Chestnut this weekend. Like, that is just
so
nuts.
It's not happening is what you're
doing. No.
But Brian, you know, you mentioned maybe you don't see it right away. How many guys could do everything he's been doing? Like the whole, you know, adding weight, the muscles, the analytics, all like the whole package everybody's talking about
with
him right
much,
now?
It's pretty much the big hitters, and that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have to be committed to obviously wanting to get big, which I guess some of these guys could. But if you listen to some of the other golfers when they are asked about DeChambeau, who is clearly the buzz of the tour right now, they almost never mention like him being bulky. They mention his dedication to studying the game and studying the numbers and the fact that he spends every waking second trying to figure out ways that he can better himself in terms of, you know, where to be on the course with his numbers and his length and all that. So I was surprised. I heard quite a bit of interviews this week with other golfers asked about DeChambeau, and they never usually said, oh, I can't believe how strong he's got, or I can't believe how, you know, his diet, or I can't believe he's hitting at 370. It's all about his dedication to the game, how he's trying to figure out ways that are going to give him the best chance to win. So at least at the moment, the other golfers seeming to be very respectful of what he's doing. It doesn't seem like they think it's gimmicky in any way. And, you know, that does tend to maybe, I guess, make it feel like it's better. I was put up a poll yesterday about all the things you mentioned that he's been doing to see, like, do fans like watching DeChambeau or not? And it was very close to 50-50. So
yeah.
Seems like some people like watching DeChambeau, some don't. But he's definitely a rising star right now, if he's not a star already.
Matthew Wolff had a shot to be rising star status. He's already there. You know, if he had won yesterday, Brian, I saw the stat. He would have been the third or fourth youngest guy to ever win his second on the tour, behind maybe Tiger and Rory and one other.
I saw that, yeah. 22 wins by 21. I think there was only four ever that have done that. And Tiger and Rory, the only ones recently. He got kind of a little, you know, introduction. If you didn't know about him, remember when he played in that match with Fowler and McIlroy and DJ when there was no sports about a month and a half ago. He's got that real quirky swing where he does that, like, twitch almost with his back to get himself started. And he hits it he hits it as far as DeChambeau can. If there's anybody right now that can hit it as far as he can, Wolff is the guy that can do it. I mean, the drives now, I feel like what DeChambeau and Wolff are doing in terms of their differential distance from the rest is kind of what Tiger did in early 2000s. Yes, it was obviously scaled back, but Tiger would be hitting his 3-wood and his 2-iron and his driver with a differential of maybe sometimes 40 to 50 yards from the rest of the PGA Tour field. And that's what DeChambeau and Wolff are doing right now. Yes, it's the length's been extended, but that differential is where they're gaining on everybody, kind of like Tiger did back in the early 2000s.
So are they going to make the courses longer because of all of this?
Well, I mean, back in the early 2000s, they did. Remember, it was Tiger-proofing all the courses. They made them longer. I mean, at some point, I guess, you know, they have to decide, are they going to try to scale this in? And a lot of people talk about the driver, which they have quite a bit of specifics on, but the golf ball is what most experts are saying is that they have to do something with. One thought is that on the PGA Tour, you would play a uniform ball. Everybody would play the same ball, and they could scale it back a little. I don't think there's too much money involved from the big companies like Callaway and Titleist and Bridgestone that make all these golf balls, that they're always going to want to sell, hey, hit the ball farther, get the most length you can, to amateur golf. But amateur golf's not the problem. Jeremy and I going out into playing at Glen Oak tomorrow, hitting a drive, whatever, we're not ruining golf by hitting it as far as whatever we're going to do. But it, you know, will these pro courses not be able to host events anymore because guys are hitting it too far? So right. The thought that Jack Nicklaus actually said, and when he says it, it kind of can gain traction, of in a PGA Tour event, every single guy plays the same ball, which also can be confined to kind of maybe bring that distance down. And they were talking about sponsors and money. They could still stamp it with the sponsor of, you know, whatever association they have with the golfer, but it would actually be the same ball for everybody. So who knows? Maybe that'll start to come. But one of the attractions of golf and watching professional golf is that we're all in awe of how far they can hit it. So, I mean, it's kind of like saying, you know, the home run. Like, well, that's kind of the biggest attraction to watching baseball sometimes, too. It's how far can these guys hit it. There's a lot of people that are attracted to it. So I don't know if the tour themselves wants to do anything to maybe ruin that.
Yeah, and I mean, he won one event this year, so it's not like he's won the last six in a row. Then you might get some drastic changes. One question that Howard had regarding scores being so low at a number of these events, you know, going back to Hilton Head, that's a course that was DeChambeau-proof and kind of Rory-proof. I mean, guys were playing station to station. I don't know, Brian, is there anything about the fact that the schedule was pushed off, maybe these courses didn't have as much time? I mean, you know you're going to have a tournament years out, and especially these places that have them regularly, but could that have led to these courses deciding to just be easier, the rough not to be as punitive? I don't know if there's anything like that.
Yeah, I think probably maybe just coincidence is that some of these courses that they're playing do tend to lend themselves to lower scores. Last week at the Travelers Championship, which was in Connecticut, that course, that's where Jim Furyk shot the 58. That's where other guys have had. It's the second shortest course on tour behind Pebble Beach. So that tournament always has super low scores. This one that they played this week is a shorter course, a little bit more traditional. So I think maybe also, too, there is just a little bit of luck of the draw. They are playing some of the shorter courses that tend to give themselves bigger money. Bigger scores under par. So it might just be a little bit of that, too. Probably the test will be these next 2 weeks. The Memorials played at Dublin, Ohio, at Jack Nicklaus's course. This is usually a more difficult course to play. And they're actually playing 2 weeks in a row here. Just because it was supposed to be in Illinois, the John Deere Classic, they decided to bail on it because of COVID. So they decided to host two events at the Memorial the next 2 weeks. So this week's, I believe the sponsor is the Workday. That's Mickelson sponsored. It's like the Workday Classic. And then the Memorial tournament that Nicklaus always hosts will be the second week. So there'll be two in a row. This course, I think, is much more difficult and challenging for these normal tour players. So we'll see. Now, if you're right, if somebody goes out and shoots 20 under at this course, now maybe they'll set it up different for one than the other. I don't know, but I know this course will be the most challenging that they've played since this COVID suspension break that play has been resumed. So if, you know, when we get to like the PGA Championship in August, that's supposed to be having, I was seeing some pictures, has a lot of rough going and things like that. So we'll see how maybe like DeChambeau handles that. Will he still just bomb it away and say, you know what, I don't mind if I'm going to play in 5 inches of rough. We'll see how that plays out. But maybe the next 2 weeks, maybe you'll see the scores come down just a little.
Brian Colzer with us. Of course, he and Kevin Sylvester and Jeff Mead just bring you the Tee to Green show Saturday mornings at 7. Thanks for hanging out and chatting some golf with us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Brian.
Have a great Monday.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a little emotional for me because I did do something a little different. I changed my body, changed my mindset in the game, and I was able to accomplish a win while playing a completely different style of golf, and it's pretty amazing to see that, and I hope it's an inspiration to a lot of people that if they set their mind to it, you can accomplish it. It just takes a lot of hard work, a lot of figuring out things that you may not know and understand yet, but if you keep going down the line and you keep working on it, figuring stuff out, eventually you'll get a little bit better each and every day. And hopefully that leads to something great in the end.
That was Bryson DeChambeau, who is the talk of golf these days. I was just looking at, hey, you know, Jeremy, you've probably experienced this. We all have, right? You know how you get on an elevator sometimes? It's kind of awkward. Do you say anything? Do you not say anything? Everybody's looking at the numbers of the floors that are, you know, being lit and all that stuff. I was just looking at some of the protocols are coming out. The it's Michael Russo, Scott Burnside from The Athletic, got a hold of the, hang on a second, 47-page document that covers phase four of the NHL protocols. You know, it's a little fun reading in a break here at the morning show. And among the things I'm learning about the hotels, each person gets their own room. Each club will be assigned a designated floor. Families are not allowed unless you make it to the conference finals. Let's see. Elevator capacity limited. No hitting the elevator buttons with your fingers. NHL players have been instructed to use their knuckles or their elbows to use on the elevator. No talking to others while you're in the elevator. And you can use the pool, but lounge chairs have to be disinfected before and after every use. So I'm just kind of making my way through the fun protocols here. They are going to do, you know, there's stuff here about if you leave the bubble, you got to, when you come back in, you've got to get four negative tests over a four-day period if you go outside the bubble. And you would be required to quarantine until you finish four negative tests over 4 days. So anyway, the players are getting all this stuff. They're doing the same thing the NFL is doing. Remember the NFL came out with the tier one, tier two, tier three for training camp? The NHL is doing the same thing. They're going to have different groups listed here, depending on whether you're a player, a coach, support staff, whatever. And it'll determine who gets where, who has access to what. And if you're not in a certain group, you don't have access to, like, the players, for example, who are in group one, to try and separate people and keep them safe. So those are some of the things that are coming out. July 13th camp, that's in here too. Games by August 1st. And all the different stuff about if you test positive and all these neat things are in there. So there you go. That's some of the stuff. Elbows and knuckles on the buttons for the elevator. No fingers. You can put that to use in your own life, I guess.
I will not use my fingers on the elevator in my house. How's that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, for your mansion? You know, because usually you have the servants. Don't you have, like, a staff member who runs the elevator for you guys? You don't have to do that anyway?
Yeah, that helps. You're right.
So a little elbow or a knuckle. I guess a knuckle. Sure, that would work. Elbow, I feel like you might hit a second button. I don't know. Anyway, knuckles. And, you know, masks and all that other stuff. Everything's detailed in there. It's fun. It's actually kind of interesting to read all the, I think, some of the stuff that's going on out there with the protocols with all the league and the safety measures and all this. And it sounds, just, again, skimming the surface, like the NHL's done a pretty thorough job of doing everything they can to limit the virus as much as humanly possible when these teams are coming together in the bubble cities. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Talking a little hockey, a little F1, a little golf. Whatever's on your mind from the weekend. Yes, it's hot. We talked even about the heat and the 90-degree days that are coming up. Anyway, whatever's on your mind, you can always join us. 803-0550 or 888-550-2550 here on WTR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.